rights in one place that are 54, 53, and 70. And the portion on the Zohar, Bob is in the Kasha that they're really 54. I really understand what the significance of the 154 54. I don't know, that's all for dinner, treasure. I don't know. That's what they asked on the Zohar. How does he say that they're like Gimel Nun? Tzedek, the Mitzvah Gan, 53, they're really 54. The Zohar going says that the parents is, that means seven of Yadav is one Tzedek. And that's why he says there's only 10 Tzedeks in the Chumash Dvarim, each Tzedek in the Kuvim Kenegi, each century of the rest of the 6th millennium. And the standard answer that the regular Parshim give is that Tzumat Tzavah counts as one Tzedek. Because the Tzumat Tzavah is so long. Somebody else in this place, it's too much Tzavah. But they say it's because of the Balaturim. The first Balaturim on Parshat Tzavah says that after the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, every schedule has the name of Moshe appearing in it, with the exception of Parshat Tzavah. Why doesn't his name appear in Parshat Tzavah? It's all about Rabbi Tzavah, it's all about Moshe Rabbeinu. What he's going to do, what he's going to tell them, what they're going to do in song. He's involved here, but his actual name doesn't appear. So the Balaam Turim says that this is a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he said at the time of the Chet HaEgel, Hashem should be to be the Jewish people. He was not, he threatened. He said, Mechaven, Sif Pasha Chetokta. Throw my name out from your paper page. Even after the Prophet did forgive the Jewish people for the Chet HaEgel, and Moshe Rabbeinu should not have been punished because the Klola that he gave himself is only Allah Tanai. But yet the Balaam Turim quotes him anymore, that Kilav Kofan, even though there was no Kiyumah tonight, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did forgive the Bnei Yisrael, but nevertheless, the punishment was Mekuyim on Moshe Rabbeinu, so his name doesn't appear in Parshas Tzav.
Is this also because of Tznai Kofan maybe?
They
didn't
forgive
him, and if you do forgive him,
you
don't make
any? So Rechaim HaKadosh asked that question on the Gemara. How can Gemara derive from Yehuda? Yehuda said, Lo yechab yoyti levecha v'chatosu v'yob v'kol ha'yomim. If I don't bring back the Yomim, so then I should be maneuvered by the Bala Mabo. Kol HaYomim, Kol HaYomim, Kol HaMabo. So the Gemara says, but he did bring back the Yomim. Nothing happened to the Yomim. So why were Atmos Yehudim and Gogolim in Ba'orim? So the Gemara says, Mikan, the Gemara and Matthew says, Mikan, would you guys in this parasha that Kirov Kof, Mal Kirov Tanayim is Kayim? It's on the assumption that the Yehudim and Gogolim said, Nidu, Nidu Ayal Tanayi Tel HaFora. Thank you. How can you prove anything from there? Maybe the reason why was because of the lack of couple. So therefore, it's tonight, Bottle of Maishikai. So therefore, the Chayyim Mastal without the Tanai. That's his Kasha. But he answers that you don't require Mishpatei HaTanai. Tanai couple in the area of Klolas or in the area of Karabin. You only need Tanai couple in Dikim, in Kibushin, in Mekamenta, those kind of things. But in the area of Haflah, since it's the din of Ha'odim Mishvua Prakliyonos, that any Neder Al-Tanai, or any Cherem Al-Tanai, or any Klal Al-Tanai, has the status, if there will be a Bitla Al-Tanai, I'll say that the Neder of the Shvua, the Naziris, or the Cherem of the Klala, Shamta, whatever, won't be Chal, because it's Ha'odim Mishvua Prakliyonos. In Kalatel Kula, so it's not the reason you declare something is a toy. But then you have to have the Mishpat HaTanayim to knock down the Kinyan. You can't pull the Yidin and Kibushin with the Talat now. But whenever it's in the area, then you only have floor, since you have to do Hadim Mishur Patliyon, if any Tanai Kolder who is right away categorized, right away classified as a Torah. That's the Rechaim HaKadosh on Chumash right now then. In the end of the Reishis. In the end of the Reishis, in the Reishis, in the Reishis, in the Reishis. It's known in the name of Chaim. Now, Zavala, of course, had the name of Chaim in the state. So, the Rahim HaKadosh came before Chaim. He writes in Achumish, the same thing as that. So, the Chidor quotes, in the state of Shem HaGdolim, he quotes that that's the standard answer that the Mekorshim give on the Zohar. Why the Zohar claims that there are 53 states that really should be considered to really 54? As I say, I don't understand. What's the mind of Kimimim? 53, I don't know. What status of Tzidin is it? It's halacha. You can't lay more than two tzedlis on the Shabbos. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that if the people miss the Kriyas HaTorah 1 week, so the next week they can lay in two tzedlis. Let's say if they miss last week, they didn't lay in Truma, so this week they lay in Truma Kitzava. If they didn't lay Truma Kitzava, then the next week you can't lay all three. Truma Kitzava 2 weeks. It's that there are people who can't lay more than two tzedlis. But you never find out those people. So let's say they miss Mitzav and Ba'yelach and Hazidim. and he's telling my other friend of Parsons how to do the coin for the Gomer Goy, and he's laying all three together because it's really only two. That's a din. It's a din. They quote in the Tehr Ador that when the Chazon Ish was in jail. Chazon Ish was once in a Havganah, Leman Torah Shabbat. And the British put him in jail for a couple of years. But then when he got out of jail, he missed the Tehr for a few years. He got out of jail. So he asked a few Balabatim there and Reng Rock if they'd be nice enough to make a din, especially if they should lay in six sedlers, one after the other. The whole reason why you don't lay in more than two is because of the Tzibura. But he said if they'll be masking, so there won't be a problem with it. So he said, why not? So they were masking. So they laid 5 sedlers. Allah said, the same laying more than 2 sedlers. What's the significance of saying this? 1 sedler, 2 sedlers, I don't understand the whole issue. So that's what the standard answer is given, that Truman Tzav counts as 1 sedler. Why counts as 1 sedler? Because the Zohar wants to cover up on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's klolo lakal, that his name doesn't appear in Parshas Tzav. The whole sedler doesn't have Moshe Rabbeinu's name. But the answer is there is no whole thing. Shulman Tzav is really 1 sedler, it really isn't the whole thing. It's only half a sedler. So strange thing. And why Taka the Balakurim says that Kilach Tachma, Kilach Tachma Kayana, that's why there's 1 sedler that's missing Moshe Rabbeinu's name. So if you want to have 1 sedler that's missing his name, have Parshas Ki Sisa, that's what he said. The Chayyar of the Sisa Hashem Kasafta. You can't, they have his name too many times there. It's too hard to. He's so involved there, it's hard to say he. So have Bayakal Lidah his name. Shikude Vasek, Kobi Vasek, Gondi Zed, Gaki, Tzada. Of all the sedlers in the Torah, of all the 40 sedlers in the Torah, after the Chesed Ego, the ones on Tik Gaki, Pashi, Tzada. So they say the name of the Zohar Gaon, why? Because Zayin Odom only falls out the week of, most of them falls out the week of Tzada. Zayin Odom is the time that Moshe Rabbeinu gives to the face of the earth. The Rebbe, the Ramban, removed his name from the Sabbath to show that this Sedra is the week that Moshe Rabbeinu died. It's not always so. The Ramban says that most of the time Zayin Odom is the Sabbath. Sometimes Zayin Odom is a little after the Sabbath. Others have to say a different time. So the Chizor has a Seikha Chumash, he quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim. I don't know who is Rabbeinu Ephraim there. He has a Saksaviyat, somebody by the name Rabbeinu Ephraim. And he writes the quote from time to time, has different comments on the Chumash. I know it's a lot of places, that's contemporary. He doesn't say who it is. So he quotes a different Talmud. But the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear, why punk this Parsha is Kisana? Because it says, Rato HaFredya Lech HaTau Nechich Lezbon Vitam HaKefen Eitzo Lecha HaNoli HaTisa Bim Dekodosh Lala Nechich Lechol Vitifos Vishal Meke Begodin for the Kohanim. And really, Moshe Rabbeinu should have been a Kohen also. He really deserved to have Kohen, but he was punished because he gave the Rabbeinu Shlomo a hard time. So now she puts in the Medrash in the very beginning of Chumash Shemot, Ala'ar Nechicha HaLevi. Really, you were supposed to be the Kohen, and he was supposed to be the Levi, because you're on a higher Madrega than I. But because you're giving me a hard time, I'm going to take away Kohen from you. And give it to Aaron, who really should have only been a Levi. So it's really Moshe Rabbeinu's own fault that he was sort of punished. That's the Rashi quotes now. She was punished that the Kohen was removed from him. So that's why in this parasha they take out Moshe Rabbeinu's name, just as an indication that it's his own fault that he wasn't involved in the. Yeah. It was his fault that he wasn't involved in the Kohen with the bigger Kohen and so on. So he gave the Rabbeinu Shlomo a hard time. I don't know. Remorseless. Rabbeinu Shlomo dictated the Torah such a way that it has taka a lot of remorseless. Maybe they're a Muslim line. Or is it hot? I don't know. Pasuk says that the purpose of the Big Day Kunim, Yafita Big Day Kodesh Ha'an Achich, Ala Kavod, Ul Nisi Forest, for the purpose of Kavod. The Mother says in Shabbos that it's not only Big Day Kunar, the Kavod, Rabbi Yechanan, Avi Kori Lemone, the Kapdusa, Rabbi Yechanan, the Kmon Baba Kama, has like that, more later in Shabbos, in Tere, Kol, Kisve, he says that Yechanan, all this more, all this is going to be Kapdusa. Rabbim as covers to the person. As covers to the person means two different things. It means number one, that people would love someone who loves them. Number two, gives the person a sense of self-dignity also. And that's also important. Even if the guy's on a desert island, even if he's locked in his own house and there's nobody else there, still, if he wears nice to Rabbim, then he gains in his own self-esteem. Somebody told me that the news broadcasters on the BBC have to be fully dressed, even though they're on radio. And there's no television there, they have to be fully dressed with a three-piece suit with a tie and everything because the company feels that a person who's fully dressed with a tie and a nice white shirt and everything will speak nicely. Because he will have a sense of self-esteem and self-dignity, and he'll be able to speak like a businessman. He'll be able to speak better. Gemara in Shabbos quotes this empirical teaching regarding the din of Kodesh Shabbos. And on Shabbos, if he's a din, especially if he's shy, if he's a din of keep with the yayin. The Torah of the Shabbos name is, and then it says, Mekodesh Hashem Mekudesh. In addition to the two din of Mekudesh, the Ram says, the two din of Mekudesh, the Ahad Hashem, and an additional two din in, to inspire Shem the Divrei Kabbalah, the Ram writes in the end of Hilchot Shabbos, then the keep with the yayin. So the Gemara says, what's included in Kibbutz? The Gemara says that you have to have special big day Shabbos. Fancy of the Gordon on Shabbos and for the weekday. It's not right that people walk around on Shabbos with Adam and Yeshiva. Basically, people walk around with sweaters, pull over sweaters on Shabbos. Funny, in the United States, well, it's wonderful, you dress like that. In America, you dress like this. In each country, you have to dress continuing to have dinner, whatever is considered properly dressed. Because on Yom Kippur, there is no oneg. So in order to make up for the lack of oneg, there's no achila shdiyah. So because of the lack of oneg, so we're makbid more on the kibbutz, and that's why we're makbid more on the kibbutz kiyah. That's why the meaning is that we wear a talus all day long on Yom Kippur, in Balayla, the night of Yom Kippur, we wear a kittel all day long, and you have a meaning, you only wear a kittel, most people have a meaning, you only wear a kittel on Yom Kippur, not on Rosh Hashanah. Some places in Europe have a meaning that you wear a kittel both on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. But the meaning that you only wear the kittel on Yom Kippur, and you wear a talus all day on Yom Kippur, the Rav once pointed out, and the Rosh is based on the Miri on that Gemara in Perek folk history, that is a special additional requirement for kibbutz to fulfill kibbutz on Yom Kippur more so than on Shabbos, because on a regular Shabbos it's kibbutz on it. So you put half of your efforts into kibbutz, half of your efforts into on it. And in Kippur, but there's only kibbutz, you place all of your efforts into kibbutz. The Gemara says, "Dosh Hashem Nechul B'du Yom Kippur, Shein B'alo Achilu B'lo Shtiyah," there's no on it, so there's only kibbutz. You have to put more effort into the kibbutz. The Gemara says in Shabbos also, in Perikol Kisvei, in that discussion about Big Day Shabbos, you might quote the passage from Megillat Rus, that when Naomi told Rus she should go down to the Goren, so she told her she should take a shower, or a chatz, the sach, the sam, similar tzayich alayach, she should put on a dress. The Gemara says, Bojadem, when she wouldn't tell her to put on a dress, she would walk in her underwear. She would go naked to the Goren. Bojadem never put on a dress. The Gemara says, no, the sam, similar tzayich alayach, she should wear big day Shabbos. And because in that passage in the Megillat Rus to be right that a person has to have two sets of clothing, a set of suit for the weekdays and a separate suit for Shabbos. That's a separate big day Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, and if you don't have a separate malbush for Shabbos, then the same malbush that you wear in the weekdays you should wear a little differently. They didn't have jackets like we wore. They used to have a big sheet that they wrapped around, like the Arabs did. But the Gemara says before, if that's all he has is one malbush, on Shabbos he should wear it differently. So how should he wear it differently? So the Gemara has a lashon that if he usually wears it short, he should wear it longer. That's why many Rabbanim had a practice, that's all they concluded. Many Rabbanim, these guys used to have a practice, that even though they used to wear short jackets during the week, many Rabbanim always wore long jackets all the time. Even those who would wear a short jacket during the week on Shabbos, you know, they would wear a long jacket. Why? Because the Rambam of the Shabbos quotes that Gemara that says that if you only have one set of clothing for Shabbos and the weekdays, so you have to do Mishana. You have to change it to show that there's some difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. How do you Mishana? So if you wear it short, you should wear it long on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. That was all ancient. Everybody used to wear print outfits for Shabbos and Yom Kippur, but on the weekdays, you wore a short jacket. It's not exactly, it doesn't really say that in the Gemara though. The Gemara says you should wear different begodim. If you don't have a different set of begodim, then you should be Mishana. How are you Mishana? Because you always long, you wear it long, you should wear it short. If you always long, you wear it short, you should wear it long. It doesn't really say you should wear dafka long clothes on Shabbos. Because that's what the Rambam quotes that lashon, you should wear it longer. But that's why they were marked with dafka to wear a different kind of a malbush. It should be yikka that it's a good month. But always long to wear nice clothes also. That's what a big day Shabbos always
is. How about somebody who works on Wall Street where every day is wearing the exact same suit? It's a different suit. The Shabbos is the exact same suit.
They should wear it. Fitzalbert?
You wear different styles. You should be nicker, right? Because all week long people wear. We wear big day Shabbos all week long in Shulchan Aruch. When they talk about big day Shabbos, it means kele meguhasan. It means trousers that have a crease in them, in contrast to dungarees. Years ago, all week long they wore trousers that didn't have a crease, like dungarees that don't have a crease. And on Shabbos they wore big day Shabbos men kele meguhasan that had a crease in it. That's why it says in the Ramon, the beginning of Hilchos Tisha B'Av, that there's a minig that on Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos in the middle of the 9 days, you shouldn't wear Big Day Shabbos. What kind of minig is that, not to wear Big Day Shabbos? Because the Levush Yisrod on the side of the Magen Avraham, on the side of the Aruch Haim, explains why. That the difference between Big Day Shabbos and Big Day Chol was that the weekday trousers did not have a crease in them. It was dungarees all week long. They were workers, whatever. They didn't have a crease. And the Big Day Shabbos had a crease in it, and it says in the Gemara in the end of Maseches Tainis that Shavuos Chol Beis Tisha B'Av and our minhag is the whole 9 days has the same status as Shavuos Chol Beis Tisha B'Av. We don't wear kelim meguhasim. What does it mean kelim meguhasim? There is a machleki from Shulchan Aruch. What that means? In the end of your day, you know, some say kelim meguhasim means clothing that just came from the cleaner, that was just clean, just came from the cleaner, and you didn't wear it yet. So the first time you wear it, that's you're not allowed to do that when one is in our base. We're getting to us. And the Torah quotes another opinion of those who are machi called manshe gihutam nika. As long as the trousers still have the crease in them, that they came from the cleaner, the crease is still there, so that still maintains the status of kelim ugrot. So the Ramah is machi for that opinion that kelim ugrot means even if it came from the cleaner a month ago, but it still has gihutam nika, the crease is still nikir in it, so that's still considered kelim ugrotim, and that's what it refers to by Big Day Shabbos. It doesn't mean a special tie, a special hat. It's lamala lamar, this hat or that hat, or this jacket. The jacket doesn't make a difference, but you wear the weekday jacket or Shabbos Dikah jacket. There's no additional Easter. Wearing Shabbos Dikah ugrotim, when it says Big Day, not to wear Big Day Shabbos, it means not to wear the trousers that have gihutam nika in them. So today by us, it doesn't make sense that a person, some people are makhtik, because the Ramah is off. The Mishnah quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he did away with the whole minute. The Vilna, he was the Vatla minute, because it's against the Gemara. But the Gemara says that on Shabbos of the 9 days, even if Tisha B'Av is called into the Shabbos, and Tisha B'Av is missed at the Sunday, so the Shabbos in the middle of the 9 days, you can eat and drink and dress, whatever you want. You can eat and drink, I feel above to the Yayin, I feel it's excluded Shabbos, the Shlomo, the Shaitis. How can you say that he's not allowed to wear Big Day Shabbos? It's against the Gemara. Second, if you want to introduce chumah, that's fine. But you can't introduce a chumah that's connected on mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Kol Shabbos. And Kol Shabbos requires nice Big Day Shabbos. You have to dress nicely. So how can you violate the mitzvah of Kol Shabbos by wearing dungarees on Shabbos? So the Vilna Gaon was mevatel a minute. And that's most of the world. They follow the Vilna Gaon. People wear Big Day Shabbos on Shabbos Kodesh. So some people are machzor. No, the Ramah says that you don't wear Big Day Shabbos. They don't wear Big Day Shabbos. What do they accomplish? The suits that we wear all week long are Big Day Shabbos. The trousers are going to go out some other time. Unless they really wear dungarees all week long, and then on Shabbos they're going to wear dungarees. The tach is going to wear trousers that don't have a crease. That's what they're going to do. They don't do that. Some Hasidim don't wear a strimal on Shabbos. On Shabbos Chazon they don't wear because that's Big Day Shabbos. That's not what the Rambam is talking about. Some people have a Shabbos Dikah hat. Some non-Hasidim don't wear Steinlach, so they have a Shabbos that they have, and they have a week they have. On Shabbos Chazon, they wear the week they have. Because the Ramah said, Kelim, Big Day Shabbos, you don't wear. But the Levush Yisrod said, that's not what he meant. He doesn't speak about Big Day Shabbos, Kelim, and Kodim the Shabbos. He's speaking about Kelim and Ruhatsin. She's Yehusam Nikah, and all week long we wear Big Day Shabbos. Well, you have to walk Dafki, you have to buy a pair of dungarees for 9 days. What was that? The Ramah's not talking about such a thing. Is it doesn't make sense to observe that Ramah B'Zmanah there. We don't observe the Gemara in that discussion in Perek Kol Kisa. He also mentions about Talmid HaChachamim, that because of the Kovod HaTorah, Talmid HaChachamim has to dress differently, just like the Kohanim are required by the Torah to wear special uniforms, to wear special outfits. So the Talmid HaChachamim, even though there's no pasuk, but it's understood that there's a din of Kovod HaTorah, that they have to be mechaber the Torah. The Baal Batim has to be mechaber them, and the Baal Batim has to be mechaber the Torah. By being mechaber the Talmid HaChachamim, the Gemara says that it's necessary that the Talmid HaChachamim should dress differently also. Even in the weekdays, not only on Shabbat. Weekdays they should dress like Talmid HaChachamim. The Rambam describes, what are the kelim of Talmud Chacham? He doesn't wear red shirts, and he doesn't wear flashy clothes, and he doesn't walk with shorts on.
Nice, begotten.
Nice, modern, begotten. The Gemara has a strange passage. The Gemara says, "Nishema tamidah chachamim shabibavo b'tsuyonim b'tnei she'inu b'nei tayu." Why is it that the Rabbanim and Bava wear special begotten? They wear these long jackets. The Rabbanim and Eretz family dress the same as everybody else, but the Rabbanim and Bava wear special clothing. So the Gemara says, "Nishema she'inu b'nei tayu." What does that mean? So the Velt says pshat because they really don't know how to learn. The Rabbanim and Bava don't know how to learn. So what will distinguish them between, how can you tell this between a rabbi, an American rabbi and American baba both are the same thing? So the rabbi has to wear a striped jacket and a black hat and a black tie, funeral suit, whatever. If he doesn't wear the funeral suit, see, I'm going, gotta wear a funeral suit today, it's on to a wedding. So if you don't wear the funeral suit, so they won't know that you're a rabbi, they'll think that you're a baba boss. And everything, so they knew how to learn. So the people knew, well, this is their rabbi, he knows how to learn. The other ones don't know how to learn. That's what the adult says pshat. But that's probably not the pshat of the Gemara. That's what the Gemara means. It's Nei She'edim and Nei Torah. The Rabbanim don't know how to learn. So therefore, in order to let the Balavatim know that they are rabbis, so they have to wear special uniforms and that. So they know how to learn. So everybody respects them as a rabbi. It's very difficult. Others say that perhaps the partial pshat of the Gemara means differently. It's Nei She'edim and Nei Torah means that the Hamaynam are not the Nei Torah. As we mentioned on several occasions, the Gemara explains in different places when Rav came to Bavel, Rav Bikra Matzah the Gavel again, they came to Bavel, the people didn't know anything, they were cooking Basa B'chol and violating all the Dina Atar because they hadn't the foggiest notion of Shmiru Tamitzus, and they had to go work Yesh Mayayim to get the people to be in there. So some interpret the Pshat, some say another say Pshat, because the people in Bavel at that one period, later in history, they got the Balabatim to support the yeshivas, and they got the Balabatim to learn, and they had Yemen and Kalin, and Yarte Kalin, and the people came and they learned from them, so they elevated the level of the religious observance of the Balabatim. But initially, when they first came to Bavel, the first generation, the Balabatim were Eidah B'nai Torah. At that time, the Rabbanim were very machshir that they should wear special begodim, Talmid HaChacham Shadim Mitzuyonim, to encourage the Balabatim to give them more covering. Distress another mitzvah, cover our Torah. Later, when the Balabatim will be more observant, they will know on their own that you have to be mechabit Talmid HaChacham. The Kozman that the Balabatim are not so observant, so the Rabbanim will dress differently. The Rabbanim will dress like princes, like kings, so the Balabatim will realize that they'll command respect by the Godin. So the Balabatim will realize that they have to be mechabit. Mashgiach and Yeshiva is the time of Rabbanim. My time, Jabai Lesson. Always used to be makbid a lot about that. Every drasha, he would speak about the boys in the yeshiva, calling all the name of Elohim. Everybody should realize that they're princes, those who run Torah. And they go back to the community for yontif, or for Shabbos, whenever. They shouldn't hang out with all the other boys and their childhood friends and play marbles with them or whatever. They're no longer on that low madrega. They're on a higher madrega. They should dress differently, and they shouldn't wear the dungarees, and they should dress like princes. Should act accordingly to command respect of the others in the community. The others should look up to them, and we should show the others the way to keep Torah mitzvahs. Not that we should be pulled down to their madrega, and we need it for ourselves also, for our own self-esteem, that we should realize what position we have. It's all based on the pasuk that the Torah says that digdei kodesh are required for Aaron Avon lechavod ulisufar. It's not only here, it's a dinli kula, but the Zayn Shem Jay Malay Nainful Rash Malay, the Moran Sahedrin runs out in the Pasuk, that if they're not wearing the Digdei Kula, the Avoida will be possible. The Ostu is Digdei Aaron Lakacho Lakaha Mali, the Zayn Shem Jay Malay Kunas Malay. But even not in the area of Digdei Kula, the din still applies. We don't have any chelas and artistas in my place, so we don't have chalozan. The Rambam already points that out. The Rambam of the Tirush HaMishnah is in Paragat Chelas points that. But we don't have any more chelas in this tzitzis, because from the tzitzis HaGolim, the chalozan disappears from it. Days of the Gemara, they always had chalozan. Days of the Rishad, no one had any chalozan. So somehow the chalozan disappears in between. The Rambam of the Yad HaZaf HaShem does mention it, just like all Medinim. Chalozim doesn't say that we don't have it. Doesn't write that it doesn't correspond to reality, that nobody's wearing tzitzis with tzitzis. But in the Tirush HaMishnah, he writes like that. In the beginning of the Perek HaTzitzis, he writes that we don't have any tzitzis because we don't have any chalozim.
Shari, what about the big tikkun? In the event that we're going to build the Beit HaMikdash today, from the mount, build the Beit HaMikdash, get all the Kohanim, mark the Kavanah, and you have that big tikkun. We'll make big tikkun. We'll figure out how to make big tikkun. How are you going to make the tchelet on the big tikkun? That's the problem. There are various problems involved in the possibility of how to build the Kavanah is designed. One of the problems is, how are you going to make the tchelet to the big tikkun? So there's a whole literature on this in Achronim. What is the status of the Tzelet for the purpose of Big Day Kuhun? So the first Tzel HaMishnayit has a Rasholesh used to refer to the first Tzel HaMishnayit. In the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, before Shabbos, he has a long essay called the Kalkelos HaShabbos, the list of all the Bible that tells the Lord, the Kalkelos, the Gzeres, and everything. Then he has a whole thing with Hamukhtar, the whole country is on Chomet Lukshe, you don't know where, and the whole country is on Big Dikuna, apropos to myself as a human. Next to the left American human has a little bit about the Big Dikuna. But he raises the question over there. Do you need the Chalozim for the purpose of Chalos to Big Dikuna? Because the Mishma Melech on the Rambam and Hilchot Kli HaMikdash says that it has the same, the Chalos that was needed for the Big Dikuna, had the same requirements as the tchelet that was needed for the tzitzit. So just like by the tzitzit, the Gemara and the Rambam quotes, the Gemara required that it should come from the chalos, and so too the tchelet of the big tikkun had to come to Afkus from the chalos. The Tzeres Lakish disagrees with him, and he says that he made a mistake. Mishnah Melech made a mistake. Says if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, when he describes the tchelet of the big tikkun, it says it has to be a beautiful color blue, and it should be a Seva HaMizkaye. It should be a lasting guard. It shouldn't fade. And the Hilchos Tzitzis, the Rambam quotes, it has to be that special color blue. The Rambam has a machlokes with Rashi that the Tzitzis also points out. And Rashi HaChumash writes that the color of the Tzitzis is the color of the sky at midnight. The Rambam says the color of the sky at noon. Quite a machlokes. I don't know, the word Yarok has all different meanings. Yarok means yellow, brown, blue, green. Yarok, in the Gemara, Yarok is only green if it's Yarok the Paris. And whenever it says just plain Yarok, it's an open field. It could mean anything. You can never tell. But Rashi and Chumash write, the end of Parashat, where is it? The end of Parashat Shlach. Rashi writes that Tchelet was the color of the sky at midnight, and the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tzitzis that the color of the sky is noon. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis writes that the Tchelet has to be that special color, and it has to be Seva HaMizkayim. It should be a non-fading dye. The Gemara says that if it fades, then obviously it's an imitation, it's Tzva'ilon, it's not the real Makor.
And then the Rambam says, the Rambam says that's the definition of chedesh, and he says that chedesh itself, but that tzitzis has to come from the chalotah. So he doesn't say that chedesh. First he says the chedesh is a certain color, certain beautiful blue color, that's seva hamiskayim. And he writes that chedesh itself, but that tzitzis has to come from the chalotah. So by the clear cut deal, it sounds like he's distinguishing. The definition of chedesh applies equally to bigdikun and to tzitzis. It has to be that color blue and seva hamiskayim. But only the chelos for tzitzis has to be from chalot, and the chelos for the big kuna does not have to be from chalot. Fine, that's how it occurs to children. And then he says that it makes a lot of good sense, because the Gemara says that we're in the world, the Gemara Menachos, in fact, that says, where do you get the chelos from? Is that some kind of a fish or a worm or an animal or something that that swam in the Mediterranean? So when the rainfall was traveling in Midbar Sinai, they're interested in making big kuna, did they send somebody to go jump into the Mediterranean? From the desert, they said. He doesn't believe. He doesn't think. So how did they dye it? This is the summer. They had vegetables. They had some other dye that was the same color. And there was a lasting color it didn't say. And they used that instead. So it's a strange proof. So how did they make the system of Mizra? The Mizra says that they did catch. Yes, so he's basing everything on a Yerushalmi. If the Yishami says that there was no Seder, then you have to take out the Seder. There was no Seder in the Midbar. So we didn't have to catch any animals. Why not? They didn't go fishing for the Seder. So where'd they get it from?
Then you have to take out a couple. You have to take out kosher, take out matzah, take out anything.
Some of the Yishami says that kosher somewhere else. I mean, they tied down.
The whole
Seder. Right. Yeah. So Yishami says you got to take out Seder. One of the things that Yishami that Seder is not the Melchizedek, because they didn't have it in the Mishkan. So where did they get the animals from? So maybe they had the Seder from Mitzrayim. Maybe they had it from before. Maybe they didn't have to catch it because they had it from before. But the Seder, they didn't send anybody to the Mediterranean, and therefore they didn't use the Chalom. So had they wear tzitzis? And the Gemara says that their tzitzis had the Seder.
No, I'm true with them.
Still left from before. No, but they got the list after Mamun Har Sinai. I don't know, they had tzitzis from before. Yeah. Okay, the Mamun Har Sinai. Yes. Talos Shikul has chelos, right? They had chelos. So where did they get the chelos from? So then the Tzitzis has an adopt faith and he says, just like in the big Dikuna, you can make chelos without chalazim. So the same is true regarding tzitzis. He just proved, even he himself said that Mishlam Melech is wrong. Shlamel made an equation between tzitzis and big dekuna, that just like in tzitzis, you need chalot, so too in chalot, and big dekuna needs chalot, and so the parent is also, he's wrong, he has a Rambam, and he'll put tzitzis, where he says that chalot should tell him both that tzitzis, that could be from the chalot, and mashman of chalot for the big dekuna doesn't need chalot, and then he says, and I'll prove it, because in the Midbar, what do you think, they send somebody to the Mediterranean to go fishing to find the chalot, and that's the guitar. As he said, he brought it from Mitzrayim, he doesn't think it's so. So the Teretz, they use a vegetable dye. And he says the same thing with the tzitzis as well. But he himself just quoted the Rambam. He made a distinction based on Rambam. So that's what Rabbi Salo Zulma, Tainer than his Sefer. In the Sefer, Reshit Bikur, he quotes this Teretz. So he says, what are you talking about? He himself quoted the Rambam to distinguish between tzitzis and big Bikur. How did he turn around 2 lines later and he backed up in the whole thing?
Was the Rambam the whole background?
Right, so when he defines what the color is, he says when Chelos is a special color blue, the color of the sky is blue, and it should be a lasting color. It's not lasting color, it's not called Chelos. And then he writes another sentence from the next line that Chelos should tell what that tzitzis has to come from the has to come from the halos. It has to come from the halos. That's what he writes. No, it has to come from the halos. So the first soul is medayik, that only the chelos should come from the tzitzis has to come from the halos. The chelos of the beginning does not have to come from the halos. And 2 lines later, he writes by Kip, the Salah Zuma, right from the center, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just contradicting himself. Then there's a long footnote there. There's a long note in tiny letters at the end of this Kupat HaRechum school. At the end of this essay by the Tzarei Tzor in the beginning of the Kerech HaMoi and the Big Dekuna, so there's a long footnote by the son of Rav Yitzchak. Aleph Beit Yud. I'm Rav Yitzchak, so they have a long essay by him about Avaita about the Tzarei. So he discovered an Aruch. The Aruch says that the Nadi Yehuda discusses whether the Chelos what's from a kosher fish or a non-kosher fish, what kind of a fish is. So this Baruch Yitzchak found an Oroch somewhere that the Tchelus came from the Netzov of the Chomet, one of the Shemana Shvat from Ha'amurim Ha'atel. Mamash a trace of Min Tomei. But he pilfels, how could it be? Ida Gemara says, Bami Madlik, when the Huch Shul, the Malach HaShemayim, Allah, the Hain Tzara Nuvad, how can you use anything from a non-kosher, a derivative from a non-kosher animal for the purpose of Mishkan? Let's say Chazut of Anuti, this was Rafi Chavot, of course, that Gemara in Baba Kamadab Tufal. Then he says, unless he said it was a Hirosho, not Nemar Lot is a Hirosho. Then he asks another question. He raises the one issue of the Huch Shul HaMalach HaShemayim, he says, maybe it's a Hirosho, he says, no, maybe it's a Hirosho. Then he raises another issue, Rek Tashayya, Rishman HaShot from Hamur Matara Matame, Asher Matame B'Madr. And this was Behemoth, Matame B'Madr B'Madr, maybe it's a Matame B'Madr B'Madr B'Oel. Other than so. But Akum says, if you eat Matame the Maga Master, maybe Bola, take Satanan. But Sherif is Matame, he's a Maga. But Tech Takasha, and Gemara learns out from the Pasik that Domam is also, Domam is not called up in Psalm, that the Dama of the Sherif is also Matame. Dama of the Nevela is the Machlaig is the Sham of Sula. The Hema drops dead. That's the Sham of the Nevela. So what about the Dam from the Nevela? Machlaig is the Sham of the Sula. The Sula say that it is Matame. And we shouldn't take on the time to give up bottom. Some time when I do it. Now, from the Shemana Shrub, the more learns out from the first, because that dumb of not call up the storm, the dumb is the time when I do it. When I make it. Now, Kai is not the time. The Bar Yitzchak is bothered with Akasha. He assumes that they took the dam that I made. He assumes that they first had killed the Tav in the Chomet, and then they took out the dam. He's bothered with Akasha, so it would be Metame to dig the Kuna. You know, I don't wear Tommy to dig the Kuna. To dig the Kuna become Tommy, aren't you supposed to be retired? Can you be retired then? If it has the Sherit in it. Mamish, has the dye of the Sherit in it? Maybe it's because the blood bottle is alive. That Tumah Balua is not Mitame. Tumah Balua means like this. There's a Mishnah in Kulin in the middle of the Hemam Kasha. A woman is pregnant with a baby, and the baby dies inside her body. So the baby is Balua inside the mother's body. It's sticking out, but it's Balua. So the mother learns out from the process that it's a Mishnah that tells man that the baby is still inside the mother's body. The mother is Toha, because she's touching the baby. And a mate is Matami Ba'ohal, but all the people in the Ohal are talking. Not even the same Ohal as a mate and other people. Tuma Blue is Kamisha and Adam. They're two dinas. The Gemara has been a two dinas. The Zina of the Beit HaTzorim and the Zina Balua. The Gemara draws a distinction. That if you have, let's say, perhaps some Tuma in my mouth. So Maga Beit HaTzorim doesn't count as Maga. You learn that from the Pasuk that you only consider it maga if it's libaroi, from the outside part of the body. Maga beis hasharim, inside the mouth, or under the armpit, or something like that, is considered maga beis hasharim doesn't count for maga. But whenever you have something that's matame the maga uba masa, then the beis hasharim, it will be considered the masa. Unless it's balua. If the thing is mama, if the woman is pregnant, and the dead baby is inside. Is inside of her. Or let's say somebody, the Gemara has another pasuk, let's say somebody swallowed a ring that's coming. A ring is a kashit, like a beggar, that's makabel tum. So let's say someone died in the oil amei, there were rings. So all the rings are makabel tum. It comes out the avoyta tum. Better than it's a metal ring, it comes out the avoyta tum. And then somebody swallows that ring. So the Gemara says in Chulin, the whole discussion, that not only is it called the Tumah Blue as it's inside the womb of the pregnant mother, or inside the womb of the pregnant vein, as the Mishnah has there, whoever not, inside the belly, it's also called the Kolua. And then the Gemara has, the Gemara quotes Mishnayis, that what if you have, what if you have Merag Lima of a Zav? The Merag Lima of a Zav is Metamin. Mayonet HaZav HaMetamin. So what if these Merag Lima were absorbed inside of Tuheret? And then somebody touches the Kli. So would you say that that's called Tumah Blua or not? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. It's only called Tumah Blua. It's not inside the womb, it's not inside the belly. It's still the given the Mishnah say that it may or may not be considered Tumah Blua, the Kilishein Adami, depending. If you can get it out, if you can get the Merag line out, or whatever it is that's absorbed inside the beggar or inside the clue, if you can get it out by baking it in an oven and trying to fry it a little, you know, the mafflet, the bella, the meal that it has inside, then it's not called Balua. And if it's very difficult to get it out, then it's considered Tumah Blua. That is Kimi Shein Adam. So Baruch Yitzchak Taina is that maybe you'll tell me that they took out this Zav from the Zav and the Chomet. He assumes that it came after they were dead. I don't know why he makes that assumption later. Maybe he took it out while they were alive. I don't know. It's a good question. He assumes he took it out after death, but he says that if they would have that absorbed into the Big Day Kuna, in order to die to the God, then wouldn't it be Mekame to be Kikun? But you'll tell me that, well, there's Tumah Blua. The Tumah Blua is not Mekame, but at the time before it became Nivla, it was Mekame to be Kikun. Unless you'll say, that's what he says, unless you'll say that it was a Hirasho, or unless you'll say that Anachanami was Mekame to be the garden, and then there were tables, they were matkel to the garden in the mikveh, after it was a Kalasumah. And then it became Tahar. They were makulit at a time that it was balua to the extent that it was extremely difficult to remove the dye. So that's now considered Tumah Blua to Mishain Adami, and Tvila and Mikra would help. So life does other makulit. But that's the pshat. Point to that Oral. We discovered that some of the dye of the Chalas came from some of the other guys came from the Shmaina Shratzim, from the Dhamma, the Shmaina Shratzim, which the Gemara says is in Tamim and Atayrin, not some like Dhamma and Avela, some of the Tamim and Yeragorim. So everybody wants to say Achidish. But they had to be careful everything afterwards. So they have the Oris in the back of the Tereth Yisrael and the Mishnah, it's a very good Oris. So they have the Oris that's called the Tereth Yaakov. By not even going to the Tereth. So you always wondered what's the din. They have the Amir Digazachim. From the Mizgeri Zohar, which is Heorot by, I think, Rabbarach Yitzchak, on the Tzeret Yisrael. And then they have in the Tzeret Yankit, they're very good Heorot there. Ma'am Tzeret, all the Akhredin, and that Lee Shailis, that Elma Pirina, no one ever discussed these things. So this Tzeret Yaakov raises the question. He knows that the deed is the Dam Shebish, if you eat cooked blood, it's only an Yitzchak Rabban. Dam is an Yitzchak Rabban, because a certain called Dam Chedin, Dam is an Yitzchak Rabban, was correct. But if you cook the Dam, that was the machleki from the Yomar, the machleki from the Shulchan. We found that the Dam Shadishlo ain't over all. Dam Shadishlo is only into the Rabbanan to eat it. Why? Because it's not going to drink our Gabi Hamitzeh. It's not called Dam anymore. So he says, he always was mistapik, what's the din of Dam Shadishlo the Gabi Tumu? That the Dam of the Shmaina Shratim is Matame Kipstaroi. So what if you would cook the Dam, maybe it's no longer Matame. He says, if you assume that Dam Shadishlo is Ois Dam, not only been geared to Yisra Achila, that Yisra Achila and Dam, Yisra Korish, Achila Dam, belong to the Rabban, belong to the Rabban, belong to the Rabban, belong to the Din Tumah, he says that the whole kasha of Rabban Chitzchak falls off. That was, that the Dam of the Shmaina Shratzim, they would cook, in order to have the dye absorbed into the Big Day Kuna, they would cook it first. So it would be Dam Shadishma, so it wouldn't have any Din Tumah at all. Maybe, it was mistaken to say maybe it wouldn't be the Kame, maybe it wouldn't be Mitame at all. Is that Nitan Bahiyoma? What's the reason why Dam Shadishla is not over all of the month? It does not win the Zrika Adam and his death. What does that mean? Now remember when we learned here today, Rabbi Aleshik used to say the name of his father, Rabbi Shisal Aleshik, the Hamad Racha, that Dam Shadishla is called Basar. What happened to the Yisadah? It's called Basar. Just like Dam Yvam Shalot Piresh, the other piece of meat that's full of blood in the capillaries. So if you want to cook the meat, you have to salt it first to remove the blood. So if you're not going to salt it to remove the blood, you're going to cook it. So the dam and the chaticha, the dam and the capillaries will leave, go into the soup, into the...
And only if you squeeze it out, then it becomes dam. So what if you cook this? The Rav Moshe Leishig used to say that dam shedishlal is, you know, kibasar again. It's considered again basar. That's what it's always said. So if you say that that's the diur, I don't think that's going to help for the tumah shmeinah shvatim. Because the whole halacha of the shmeinah shvatim is that ein dam mecholof mitzarei. That the dam is considered like basar. Even after you squeeze it out, it's considered like basar. So if you're going to cook it, it's vayta going to be considered like basar. So it'll still be mitami. The butter of the Shemana Shvatim is mitami. What does it make a difference if you cook the dam? It's an interesting shayla. Because the dam shadishlo loses the tumor by the Shemana Shvatim. It's in the Haoris of the Sferis Yankov. He's mistapik. He's not sure what the dinner is.
So this dinner
mitami
was bigger. The Shemana Shvatim was bigger anyway. You know, the tumor
that. Right. In the cloth. So the whole idea, shouldn't apply at all. The whole idea of Dam Shadishlo should only apply to Achina. It should apply to Tum of the cloth. The Gemara sounds like they have a machlekes is exactly what this fits, how this fits has Kodesh Lashem written on it. Gemara says that one time it says that he was once in Rome and he saw the tzitz and had Kodesh Lashem more than one line. And the other Tanoim who were never in Rome say that it's not so. That it's on two different lines. How is it? Lashem has to be higher than the Kodesh. So how do you have it higher than the Kodesh? You have Kodesh Lamed no Mato and Hashem no Lamaylo. What does that mean, Kodesh Lamed no Mato? Basically, simply in the first paragraph, one about Kodesh Lamed over here and Hashem no Lamaylo. Upside down. Mom is the wrong direction.
You cave off K on top?
So there's Mom is one on top of the other. The Taisa says that's not going to be ridiculous. And Johnson, the wrong. Mom says that the tit was two etzvot, and etzvot means thumb, aguru. So it was two etzvot wide. It's a little bit. Too wide over here. The Mishnah Melech quotes the Tosfos in Sukkah that that's only midirabbanan. And at third, there is no height. How high the gold has to be. Be a mashuv also, but you have to be able to write Kodesh Lashem and a pituchei chayt. And it's only midirabbanan that it has to be two etzvos tall. But this is way too big. Okay. So the one day in Tosfos says that the Kodesh Lamed no Mata and Hashem no Maila was like this. And Tosfos doesn't like that. So they say that's not the pshat. So how do you have Kodesh Lamed no Mata? And Shabbos and Daf Tam Gimel. There's Rabbi Natam gives the accepted shot, but there are two versions of the Rabbi Natam. Taisus has one version, and the Rajbuddha has a different version. The one version is Kodesh Lamed no Mata means over here, and Hashem no Mata is over here. So you read it like this.
Milmata means more, Milmata means higher. Look over here, Milmata, Milmata, but the Taisa thinks that that doesn't make any sense. So they say, no, Milmata is over here, Milmata is over here. So you read it straight, going like that. Then the other version is, Rajma quotes the Rabbeinu Tam saying differently. Kodesh Lamed, Milmata means further down on the line. And Hashem, Milmata means at the beginning of the line. Doesn't mean higher, lower. Milmata means the beginning of the line, Milmata means the end of the line. So you don't read from the bottom up, you read the first line, then the second line. So you have Kodesh Lamed over here. Machlekes the Rambam. So it sounds like a Machlekes HaTanaim, what the Tzitz looked like, where the Kodesh Lamed and the Hashem were in two different lines and the same line. The Rambam writes it's on two different lines, and sometimes they used to make it on one line. What do you mean? They didn't have the same Tzitz from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the days of Vayishenu? They had a different Tzitz? I don't know. That's what the Rambam says. Klei HaMikdash, he writes. And he doesn't write Kodesh Lamed. He writes it was Kodesh. It was Kodesh Melmato and Lashem Melmailo. So the Ketz Mishnah writes, yeah, the Rambam held that that's used in the Gemara in beginning of Sukkot. Didn't make any sense. Kodesh Lamed. You break up the word, Lashem. So the Rambam chose the Girsa in the Gemara in Bamei Isha and Daf Samad Gimel over the Girsa in the Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah, that hey. But the Girsa in the Gemara Shabbat Daf Samad Gimel is Kodesh, Milamata, and Lashem Omaila. So in the bottom of the case, the bottom of the case of Mishnah, they point out the Magia. Magia is Maram Padua. He wrote the tiny letters, the tiny Haggot on the bottom of the Rambam. He's the Bala Magia on the Rambam. He printed a Rambam. There's a whole background to his Rambam. He printed a Rambam, and he charged the nominal letter to his Rambam. Charged a fortune of money, and he added on. He printed the Rambam and he gets Mishnah and some of the portion on the bottom with his Haggad. Every other page he has two lines. That's the whole big thing. And then a guy printed another Rambam without the Haggad of the Maran Parid. No, what his Haggad? So he printed the same Rambam and he charged half the price. So everybody was buying the Goy's Rambam. What do you have to charge twice as much to buy the Rabbi's Rambam? You can pay much less. So the Maran Padua was the cousin of the Ramah. So he wanted the Ramah to issue a psak that you're not allowed to buy the Goy's Rambam. So the Ramah wrote him a tshuva, my dear cousin, I love it. So he gives seven reasons why it's an Easter for the Jewish people to buy the Rambam that the Goy printed. He gives it. Sasogah's Gvul, and you have to let the Talmud Chacham sell first instead of the Amoritz, and the Goyim also have this deal. The Goy has to let the Talmud Chacham sell his merchandise first. And he says, it's an Easter al Tashkim Alecha Ablo, we just had the Rashi that we just learned in Osa Lahash Sefer Shein Amuga. Rashi quoted the Gemara in Sudan. Osa Lahash Sefer Shein Amuga. Shenem Al Tashkim Alecha Avlo. He said the old Rambam is the Sefer Shein Amuga. You have to have Dafka the Maran Padua with Rambam. If you don't have to, then we'll let you live with an old Rambam. But if my cousin Rambam is available, you got to buy him. That's all this the reason. What seven reasons why you're not allowed to buy the guy's Rambam. Nagel Alocha, that copyright. So that's an important one of course. So the Magia, the Maran Padua has on the bottom of that calculation, he says, in our Gemaras, we don't have any discrepancy between the Girsa and Perik, and the first Perik in Sukkah, and the Girsa Masech HaShabbat from Bama Yisha Dalam Tamal Gimel. So it's the same thing in both places. Kodesh Lamed Melamato and Hashem Melamaylo. Because apparently the Rambam in the calculation must have had a different Girsa in the Gemara Shabbat. The Kodesh Melamato and Hashem Melamaylo. The Ketz Mishnah is saying that the Rambam chose that gear over this gear. What do we don't have? Exactly. How did the Tzitz hold up? That's also tough. How did Tzitz, as a piece of... Where was the Tzitz also Shiloh? Because it had 2 days. Why are Mitzchatam? Mitzchatam means over here. Because it has 2 days. So Malcolm Tfilin, that it has to be Dafka over here. Yes, lower down. The Gemara says that Sairo Hayonir Bay Tzitz Mitznefes Shisham Hayminech Tzilin. He had Tzilin on. The Kengel used to wear Tzilin in between the Mitznefes and the Tzitz. That's the Shad. The Tzitz was here and the Tzilin was over here and the Mitznefes was here. Oh, no, the Tzitz was here and the Tzilin was further back because Mokhin Yej Barosh Lanech Shnei Tzilin, one behind the other, and then the Mitznefes was all the way back. So those are the 2 days in Tzitz, whether the Tzitz is on Mitzkoy, literally, or the Tzitz is after the Mokhin Tzilin over here. So how exactly did the Tzitz hold up? The Rashi and the Ramban have a machlekes on this. Rashi says that there were three. He says you use a psil.
still tailored to hold up the suit. So how many students did you have? Rashi says that there were three students, one from each. There was a hole and one from each side over here, and then there was a third one on top that held it all together. And that's what the Ravid writes. The Ravid on the Rambam, right? It's like Rashi and Chumash. And the Ramban and Chumash writes like the Rambam. Ramban disagrees with Rashi, and he says the Rambam is right. There were only two on either side. How's it going to hold itself? There must have been a very heavy still chelik. I think some Rishonim say that the still chelik is also 2x4x wide. It wasn't a still chelik, it was like a strap. A heavy piece of metal. So it has to be up to the thick piece of tape. So that's what some Rishonim say, that it was also 2x4x, that still chelik is also 2x4x. The Choshen had the 12, had the Eichel, had the 12 Avonim with the Shmos Bnei Yisrael written on them. The Gemara says in the end of Yuma, next to the last Perek in Yuma, Perek Bolo, Kain Godel, the Mishnah discusses the fact that Kain Godel wears Shmoyim Godel, Kain Hedge wears Avon Godel, and if they wear the wrong amount, the wrong number of Godel, then the Avon will be possible for the other. They will be the Yuta Godel, the Chusa Godel, will be possible for the other. Anymore. There in the end of Yuma, next to the last Perek Yuma, has a discussion how many Dvarim does the Mashiach Muhammad wear? Regabi which dinim is he dinim kikvar gadol? Regabi which dinim is he dinim kikvar hegel? It's a hybrid, half and half here. Some dinim like kikvar gadol the Mashiach Muhammad, and some dinim like kikvar hegel. So the Gemara there discusses in Yuma exactly how did the Chayshah and Hamishpot work? How did the function east or light up? Someone would ask a shayla, they didn't ask shayla to do the heter. The Gemara says, Lo Bashamayim Hi, we just learned the Gemara, Lo Bashamayim Hi. And whenever there was a shayla that Chacham had to figure it out, they wouldn't figure it out, Al Pi Nevuah. But when they had a shayla about what to do in the future, what to wage war, things I'm going to get. I had a shayla whether to apply for a job in this institution or that institution, or whether to propose to the girl or not to propose to the girl. It's not a private issue, you go to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Go to your local Rebbe. You don't go to the Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you only go to the Magid, the Gan Kol Yisrael. Whether you should give back the Shtochim or not, or whether you should attack over there or not. The thing that's Magid, the Gan Kol Yisrael. Private thing, you don't go to the Yom Tov. If you go, wouldn't it? So then the Gemara says, when you do ask, the Gemara has that the Ponov Klapi Pnei Ha Shoil has to be Klapi Ha Mishal. The one, the Melech or the. Or the Rosh Hashanah, or whoever it is, the Kohen Moshe of Muhammad, whoever goes to ask, has to be facing the Kohen who's going to ask the Yom Tov. Exactly what that means is also on Machlokes is Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says that they were facing each other, Ponim Keneged Ponim. The Kohen Gadol would be wearing the Shemonim Godim with the Yom Tov Manim, and let's say, I'm the Melech, and I want to know, should I wage war? Should the laser shot come that he wants to know, should we join the government or not? That's a major issue. That's going to get the guns closed. So he faces the Kohen Gadol. And the pun of klati pnei hashoel klati hanisha, and the Rambam both in the Pirush Hamishnayos and in the Arach HaZoker writes that that's not the pshat. He says that the kohen gadol who would wear the Urim Tum would be facing the Urim. The Gemara says also that the kohen would be facing keneged hashchina. What shchina? When shchina? The Rambam says keneged ha'orim. So the Urim is there. Let's say the kohen gadol is standing here facing the Urim, and the one, the king or the Rabbeinu Shach, whoever, is standing behind the kohen gadol. Pun of the face of the shoyal is klapi the back of the nishal. Ponav klapi on nishal is not ponim keneged ponim like Rashi, but ponim keneged ochor, facing the back of the kohen who has his face facing the yorah.
So if you could explain that the kohen is the shoyal and the kadosh baruch is the nishal, the kohen is facing the
yorah. I don't think so. I think they both agree who the shoyal, who the nishal are. No.
Who are we asking from? We're asking from Hashem.
Ultimately you're asking from Hashem, but I think they both agree that the words in the Gemara, the Shoyal and the Nishal, they both agree. The Shoyal is the Melech or the Mashiach Muhammad, whoever, and the Nishal is the Kohen Gadol who's wearing the Shemoneh Gadolim. They just argue, what does it mean? Panav Klapi Pnei HaShoyal Klapi HaNishal. Klapi means facing each other face to face, Panim Keneged Pan. Panim means Panim Keneged Ocham, facing the back of the other. And then that's the next line of Gemara says. Neha Nishal should be Klapi Ashkina. That's the next line of the Gemara. Neha Shoel Klapi Anishal, Neha Nishal Klapi Ashkina. Rashi learns that means something else. I think he should have his head down, facing Urim and Tumim or something. Nothing to do with the Yoram. Rambam learns that he stands in front of the Yoram, because God faces the Yoram. The other one is asking him, stand behind him. And then he asks this question behind, let's say I'll be the Kohen Gadol. He asks the question behind me, and then I see the Oasis light up or whatever, and then I give him the answer standing like this. I give him the answer backwards. That's how the Rambam learns. Rashi learns not something.
So for the Gemara
says first you have to pnei hashav klapi hanishav, pnei hanishav klapi hashmi.
So according to Rashi, the Kohen Gadol will not be facing Yisrael.
No, I think the shchina means doing it. I think it means doing it too. It doesn't mean the aura. Oh no, I think that's where Rashi learned. I think that's how we learned in the Gemara. The Gemara there assumed that it was essential to have all the letters of the Aleph base on the Urim Tumim, because it's supposed to light up to give you the answer. If you don't have all the letters, there are some answers that it won't be able to give. So the Gemara asks, where is there a tzaddik? There was no tzaddik. The Gemara answers that in addition to the Shmos HaShvatim, you have to also write Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so you have a tzaddik. Then the Gemara asks, where's the Tev? So the Gemara answers, you have to write Shiftei Koh. Or Shiftei Yisrael, or Shiftei Yishurim. There are different gears. The Babli has one gear, the Rishon has different. The Rambam seems to have had a different gear in the Gemara. That's what I said. The Rambam writes that you write Shiftei Koh. So the Chassam Sofer on this week said a quote from one of the Gedolei Achronim, and he likes it. He quotes Akasha in the Teretz, one of the Gedolei Achronim who asked Akasha, how come the Gemara first asked about the Tzaddik and then they asked about the Tes? According to the tradition that we have in the Aleph basis, the letter Tes comes before the letter Tzaddik. The first Gemara should have asked in order. What happened to the letter Tes? What happened to the letter Tzaddik? But he quotes the Harif is the Gedolei from the Shev Yankov. I don't know exactly where this is. The Shev Yankov wrote a commentary on the bottom, printed on the bottom of the Ein Yaakov, that's called Iyun Yaakov. But it's not there on Yumas. So maybe it's in the Tshuva Shev Yankov. Maybe he heard it in his name. But it's not there on the bottom of the Ein Yaakov. So he says, the Medrash Rabbu on this Pasuk has a machloikis, how to interpret the Pasuk. V'ha'av v'onim tihiyena al-shmoz b'nei Yisrael. What does that mean? So this is a Pasuk. V'ha'av v'onim tihiyena. The one shot in the first shot in the Medrash is that in addition to carving out, in addition to writing the names of Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., they also wrote on every stone the name of this stone. Odem, Pitzadok, Korekes. So on the first stone it said Odem, Reuben. Second stone it said Pitzadok, Shimon. Third stone it said Korekes, Yehuda. So according to the one opinion, who have one opinion, Al Shmos Bnei Yisrael, the name of the stone was an addition. Al Shmos Bnei Yisrael, an addition to the names of the Shvat, and the name of the stone was also engraved on the stone. So then you have right away a test. So that's not a kasha. When you don't have a tzaddik, the first thing Gemara asks, where's the tzaddik? The Gemara doesn't ask, where's the test? Because if you follow that opinion, that who have one opinion means the name of the stone was engraved on each and every stone, so there's no problem with that. But the tzaddik is a problem. Then the Gemara answers that they wrote Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Where the Gemara, where the one that they dig up from thin air, they wrote. The Hadakash that they say, Hachmai Askinah, that they wrote. But the answer is that the other opinion in the Medrash Rabbah, that it says, Avraham Tehiyena doesn't mean the names of every stone. Well, you have to write, this is a ruby, this is a sapphire, this is an emerald. You have to write what it is. It's like the people, they buy expensive jewelry and they go show it off. This is a this and this is a that. It's not nice. But the other opinion in the Medrash is, Avraham means Abu Bonim. Not only were the names of the Shvatim written, the names of the Yavad were also written. So the Gemara answered that the Tzaddik was written because Avraham is called the Yaakov, so the Gemara says, oh, if so, then I have a kasha with the Tzaddik. Because if you're darshaning Avraham means Avu Banim, then you no longer interpret Avraham means that you write both and Tishat of Barek. So then you don't have the Tzaddik and the Tzaddik. So where's the Tzaddik? So that's why the Gemara asked it out of order. So first the Gemara thought that they have an answer. There's no problem, they have an answer. The test of Tishat of will stop the drop. That's what he writes to the name of the Shev Yankov. He says that it's Givaldic. So he likes that answer. Why the Gemara said it? I don't know. Once a year, Sansari, they went north. Once a year, Sansari to Kufa South. Either without the Kasha or after the Teres, the Kufa South. And then after the Teres, then you start with the Kasha back again from the Teres. Sansari from the Teres quotes also another Divi Pichoch Mechaim. He writes on another verse from someone else. In the Slichas that we say on Yom Kippur, so they mentioned there that the Me'il that the Kangol wore was Kilayim. Then he says, Makshim Ho'ilim, there was no Kilayim. He says that the Me'il was all Sheish. How can it be Kilayim? Tisa, Me'il Ho'ilim, no, it says Kilim Techelet. It says it was Kilim Techelet, it was Kilim Techelet. It says it's only Semer, how can it be Kilayim? How can they say in the Swedish that it was Kilayim? So the Mepharshim answered that question. So the Chassam Sofer quotes that he heard from Wolf Heindenheim. He's one who wrote a Pirush on Chumash and wrote a Pirush on the Siddur. The Sama is printed on the bottom of the Oikir Atzilut Siddur. I just didn't have a chance to look at it. So he said he heard from Wolf Heindenheim. Usually when they quote something from him, they write in Rosh Hashanah, Reish, Zion, Vav, Vav, Hey. That's it. Wolf Heindenheim. He's a Bal Dikduk. He always says things on Dikduk. So he said over here, Shtikol Taira, Mishkin Dikduk. And the Chassam Sofer says he thinks he's right. But it says in Yeridei, the Ramon Yeridei quotes that Yerushalmi, that there's an Issa Kalayim of the Rabbanon, if you wear an undershirt and a shirt, one is Semer, one is Tishtim. And when I heard the Issa of Kalayim, you only have Semer, Tishtim, Yachto. If they blend it in, it constitutes one thing. If you wear two different garments, I wear one sock is Semer, one sock is Tishtim, that's not Kalayim, not Menatera, not the Rabbanon. But if I wear two socks, one on top of the other, and I wear an undershirt and a shirt on top, and I cannot take off the bottom beged without first taking off the top beged. But if I wear a linen shirt and I wear an abricompas of wool, I can pull out the abricompas through the neck without taking off the shirt, the way we wear abricompas, that it doesn't have any sleeves in it. So then there isn't even a need to climb in the rabbanon. But if you wear an abricompas with sleeves, or if you have an undershirt that has sleeves on, so the undershirt is made from semer, and the shirt on top is made from pishtim, so there are more quotes, so you will show me that that's the need to climb in the Rabban. And the Gomel Gaon writes over there that he's 100% right on that Ramah, that that's what it says in the Yerushalmi. Apparently there's a sikhtuch about it. So they're going to, that's what it says, that it's the need to climb in the Rabban. You say some, that's what I think Moshe Shtembach writes in one of his Svarim, that the Zilma go out on Arachai and he says in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlekes ha-rishayim how to pass him. There's a Yaman Bahaman Likin has a machlekes ha-tanoim where the Chiyah Tzitzis they write it only in a Beged Semer or a Beged Tishtim or all mini machai and what if you have a garment that's made of silk or a garment that's made of cotton, is there a Chiyah Tzitzis min ha-tara wrong with the Rabban? So in the Shulchan Aruch it's a machlekes ha-mechab in the Rambah whether Shai Minim ha-derayt to the Rabbanon. And then I think the Rambam writes that the Midas Chassidus is always to be makpid to wear a beged shel tzema. Beged shel tishtim, we don't wear it in Marta, that they shaman made in Zera, that you're not allowed to wear a beged shel tishtim with tzitzit in. It's forbidden to put tzitzit in beged shel tishtim. And Taisus points out in the beginning of Sukkot Daf Gimel that that's one of the six cases, in addition to the Yud Chazav, that's one of the six cases where we pass like the shaman against the tzitzit. That you're not allowed to put tzitzit in a beged shel tishtim. The Rosh, the Tzuk was the Rosh, and that was maybe his manager is not so. When the Rosh moved from Germany to Barcelona, he took over the Rabbanus of the Rajbo after the Rajbo passed away. So he saw that the Balabatim were wearing tzitzit in the Beged Shel Tishtim. And he asked Eis Kenegad Adin, we passed like the Sham, the Gzeira, the Rabbanus, and they explained why, because the whole Gzeira has to do with Chelus, and as long as nobody has any Chelus anyway, so the Gzeira falls apart. But the Rosh thought that maybe it's right. But Lamai said, we don't wear an Arbitantus or Tishtim, so it's either going to be Temer, it's going to be cotton or something else. So the Vilna Gaon says in Shulchan Aruch that the proper thing is to wear an abricompas of tzemer, even in the summertime, you get inspired and so on. So Midas Chassidus is to wear tzemer to make sure that you're sure you're fulfilling a mitzvah deraita of tzitzit. So the Vilna Gaon explains on the Bi'ur HaGemara, explains what it's based on. Then they quote in the Ma'aseh Rav that the Vilna Gaon used to wear an abricompas of cotton. Are you talking? So he himself explains on the Shulchan Aruch what the Chumrah of the Rambam is based on. It's not really such a kasha. The Birak Bro just, he doesn't give you his own personal opinions. And the Birak Bro just explains what everything is based on. He doesn't tell you whether he agrees or disagrees. He could say, disagrees. Well, then it doesn't make any sense. That's what the Veltir, Makshim Ha'olam. How could it be that the Vilna Goyen and the Bira Gron, or Rachaim doesn't say a word, he just explains what the Chum is based on, why you're supposed to wear an Abakantus of Semer, and they quote that he himself wore an Abakantus of Kat. But Moshe Shtemach suggests that this is the answer, that if this, they used to wear an Abakantus that had sleeves on it or something, so therefore it will be, and their shirts were not cotton like our shirts. Their shirts years ago, the shirts used to be linen. I seem to remember as recently as when I was a little boy. I think the white shirts used to be linen. They weren't cut, if I'm not mistaken. So if you would wear an abercompass of semer with sleeves on it and a shirt on top of linen, so then it would be, and you can't take off the undershirt without taking off the upper shirt first, and then that would be a violation of klayim midirabbanan. So that's why the Vilna Gaon was mocked the Dafkin not to wear an abercompass of wool. That's why he had to wear dafkika.
How did people wear shirts and wool suits?
We don't wear anything that's linen.
Yeah, but
years ago. Enough. It would be an Utsa Dirabbanan to do it. Now that everything is cotton. After Whitney invented the cotton gin, so they made this state in history books. After Whitney invented the cotton gin, so they became much more popular to wear cotton underwear, cotton clothing and everything. Until then, Takari used to wear a lot of linen.
Linen wear linen.
Yeah? With woolen suits?
What?
Okay. That's according to their Yerushalmi, that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that's awesome with the Rabbanu. That's also the Rabban for the Hatam Zayf. And this week's Sedra quotes from Avol Pindenheim that's the Pshat. That it says, we say in the Slichas, the Tengol wore the Eifel that was Shatnas. It doesn't mean that he wore a Me'il that was Shatnas. It doesn't mean that the Me'il was Shatnas. The Me'il didn't have any Shatnas, it was close Chelet. But he wore the Me'il with the Ksonas, one on top of the other. And one of them was Semer, and one of them was Pishtim. And he couldn't take off the bottom one without taking off the top one, so there was an Issa Shatnas, but no beged per se was Shatnas. There was an Issa Shatnas. So the Chasam Seifa thinks that that's a good Shatnas. The Zibay Tichach and Chaymati thinks that that's the correction. There is a Machlegis Rashi in the Ramban HaChumash. What does it mean by the bottom of the Me'il? The Otisal Shulov Rimonei Tchelos V'Yagaman, etc. Pamon Zohav Rimon, Pamon Zohav Rimon HaShemei Amil Saviv. It says the Pamone Zohab Bistalchom Saviv. The Rashi says Bistalchom Beinehem. Every other one was a Rimon and every other one was a Pamon. Bistalchom means in between two Rimon and was a Pamon. And the Ramban says that that's not what Bistalchom means. Bistalchom means that there was a Rimon and then there was a Pamon inside the Rimon. The Rimon was surrounding the Pamon. Much like it's Rashi in the Ramban HaFumish, what it looked like, what it was like. So I saw Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin is quoted in the Sefer that they have. HaChumash, they have all kinds of wild things there. You can never tell what's authoritative and what's not. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rabbi Chalav told me that Rabbi Shua Leib's most authentic Talmud was, of course, his grandfather. But when Rabbi Shua Leib passed away, his grandfather was mamash, a little boy. He was only 13 or 14 years old. But he knew all the Torahs of Shua Leib better than anybody else. So he volunteered to write it all up, to write up the Chumash and everything. But they said, ooh, this little kid, he's going to write up the tradition. So they insisted that someone else should write it up who was much older. The other guy, Mamish, butchered it up. You look at the Talmud by Rabbi Shaul, you can't figure out the head to tail. You can't understand one word that's going on here. And the other sefer that his grandfather wrote up, who he write up, is Tisa Kodesh, which was from another god that he learned with. Sentences, paragraphs, words, you know what he's talking about. You agree, you can disagree, but at least you know what he's talking about. The things about Rabbi Shaul Leib, half sentences, you can't understand a word. Someone who wrote it was such a super genius that his mind was just jumping ahead. You can't figure anything out. So they quote there, the name of Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin, that he had a tainan. Funny kashi, he said, how can you say like the Ramban, that the Rimonim were covering up the Tamil Zohar, so the Zohar wasn't noticeable, it was covered up, so why didn't the Kangaroo wear the Me'il on Yom Kippur? The Gemara says only, he's not allowed to wear, when he goes in to do that, he's not allowed to wear the Me'il on Yom Kippur, because they got taken up Sunday, we were just discussing yesterday. But if it's like Rashi, Tamon Zohar was on, every other one was off, so the Zohar was Bole. You're not allowed to wear the Zohar in the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur. If you're all like the Ramban, the Zohar was covered up, so why was there any? What's the kasha? The Torah says he wears Avod Godin. What's the kasha? It'll be Miyut of Godin if he's going to wear the Me'il.
kind of kasha is that? The kasha on the Gemara. Why? The Gemara says why he doesn't wear the tzitz. He doesn't wear the tzitz because enka tegen asan egel. That's the Gemara that's silly. He doesn't wear the tzitz because of the youth of the goddess. The Torah says he wears our both garden, our kasha mic, he wears two of them, so he's not wear the tzitz. He's being the youth of the garden, we'll talk about later. But Rabbi Kiveg wears our kasha on the Gemara. Rabbi Kiveg wears our Gemara. The result says it suggests the terrace that maybe it wouldn't be miyut of God because it sits as a tachshit. It's not really a beggar. That's how the Bala Turin points out Achum, which is the very beginning of the Sefer where it says Ve'ela ha'vgodem asher yasu Yossi sabik de kodesh ma'am nachich nenes Ve'ela ha'vgodem asher yasu that lists off chosh and v'yev when a meal of son is tajbet nefes v'abnei. And it doesn't say the tzitz. How come they left out the tzitz? So the Bala Turim says because the tzitz is a tachshit, it's not a beggar. Later on the tzitz is mentioned. You have to wear the tzitz. But the tzitz is not really from the begotten. So you can't really say that's how some say it to enter the great town. That the Torah didn't require that the kangaroo should wear the tzitz. They didn't require it, so let him wear the tzitz. What would be the okay if he wears the tzitz? It wouldn't be a mule to the begotten. The tzitz is a tachshit. Not a beggar. So sure, let's say the kohen goes and he does the avoda which might have got him, avoda got him, and is wearing a pair of glasses. Is that called the youth of God? Because he has a pair of glasses on. So then it did have in the nation of Dov and his Chuvis. So what's he doing in the Chuvis? He says that it's on the Rambam sheet is different from Rashi. Because the Rambam holds that you only use the God if you're wearing an additional beggar for the big Nikuna. If you wear two Me'ilim, or two Ksonas, or two Mitznef, or something like that. So if you wear an additional beggar, with another beggar in addition to the Gadim, the Rambam would appear to say that that's not a viable, that's not called music of the Gadim. And Rashi is wrong, he said in terms of the same as well. But if you wear bandage, if the bandage is big enough, Gimel al Gimel as well, have you shame beggar, so then it's called music of the Gadim. That's how Rashi learns Pashim Shah. What does the Rambam do with the Gemara? Because the Rambam learns that Gemara goes, he wears a bandage in between the beggar and the skin, so it's a chatzitza, an undermite, not midin the youth of the Gadim. Rashi learns that the youth of the Gadim is even if it's not that you're wearing an extra one of the big dekunas. So the Shabbos, if you all like Rashi, that you could run even if it's not one of the big dekunas, what if you wear glasses? So they say that the Chafetz Chaim, when he was an old man, was part of Kutasiva, and he was fighting against wearing glasses. He didn't want to wear glasses because he was hoping that they'll do the Beit HaMikdash soon, and he's going to be the kohen that's going to do the Avodah, and he didn't want to be in the youth of God. That's how the story goes. He didn't want to be in the youth of God. Some say yeshivas, they say that that's the teretz of Kiveger's kasha. Kiveger asked on the Gemara, what does Gemara say? The reason why the Kangodl doesn't wear the tzitz is because en kategen asan eger. What do you have to give stories? The Torah says he wears four begadim. If he wears an extra beggar, it'll be miyut of begadim. The avoda will be possible. So the Dov says that that's the teretz on the Zulian Ashas's kasha. That is, if you wear an extra beggar from cloth, it will be miyut of begadim. If you wear an extra pair of glasses or a wristwatch or a tachshit, with a chai. Necklace or something, or a nose ring, or an earring, something, whatever. So the Rav says that that wouldn't be called miyut of God. That's chashitness. If he wears the tzitz when he doesn't have to, that wouldn't be miyut of God. But if he puts on the me'il when he doesn't have to, the me'il is a habegir. Of course it'll be miyut of God. So what's Rabbi Shaul like this with kashet, a funny kash? And even, I don't understand, what did he say? According to Rambam, according to the Ramban, he has a kashet. Why doesn't the Kangaroo wear the medial? After all, the gold is not sticking out. The gold is not sticking out, don't worry. There's no issue. The gold is only if the gold is sticking out. Then but then he gives a teretz. He has teretz also on the kasha. But he says, what does he wear on top of the medial? When Godel wears the goshen on top, he wears the eightfold on top of the meal. And the cheshev, eightfold is the garfold to hold down the meal. So he says, since he can't wear the eightfold with the goshen ho eightfold, because that has zohav in it, so maybe he can't wear the meal, because he can't wear a beggar without a garfold. The reason why he's not allowed to wear the me'il, even though the gold is covered up, in fact, Ramban shouldn't cause the trouble, because he won't be able to wear the cheshev or eifud, which is supposed to serve as a garfel on top of the me'il. So there's no garfel
it's better to walk around naked. So don't wear the beggar. It's not worth wearing the beggar. I don't understand the kasha. I don't understand exactly what where you're coming from. Chumash is bothered to be kasha. Why the Akhir Nizbach HaKtoris is all the way at the end? Gan through Shaloi Shalavim Karmoi. Should have been way earlier. The Torah tells how to make a Mishkan. Then you make the Klei HaMishkan. Then you make the Digdei Kunin. Then you bring the special Korbanis for Chanukah HaMizbeach and for Chinuch HaKohanim. And then it says, oh yeah, we forgot to mention about the Nizbach HaKtoris. Nizbach HaKtoris is all the way at the end. You make a Mishkan. You make all the Kalim. So if you are right in my thoughts, I'm sorry, and if you want, they all give the same answer. They say that since the Gemara says Mizbeach Mizbeach HaKtoris Shenech Amim Komo, if the Mizbeach HaKtoris is missing, nevertheless not Tiyon Toris and Komo, you can be Makos Toris on the floor. Hashem came by the others. Let's say the Shulchan is not there, you can't put the Lachmaponim on the floor. If the Ner is not there, you can't put a couple of cups on the floor and just light the Menorah there. It's not what kind of thing. You have to have a Menorah. And if you don't have the Mizbeach HaChitzon, you can't just be Maktev and Kom. Special the Mizbeach HaMizbeach
HaNekoishes.
Yeah, you have to put the Mizbeach there once in order to be Mekadosh LeMakom. But once you're Mekadosh LeMakom, that special spot, then you can be Maktev Torah on that Mokom. Even if you remove the Mizbeach. And therefore, if the Mizbeach wasn't really considered one of the pieces of the Mizbeach HaKtoris, wasn't really considered one of the pieces of Klei HaMikdash. So it's just a mitzvah that L'chatchila we should be makseh the Torah on top of the mitzvah. So that's why it's written all the way at the end in conjunction with the Hakdovah Tomei every day. Kev Zechat Tazah Beikev, Kev Zechat Tazah Ben Avoy. By the Mizbeach HaKtoris. Ramban himself says he's not going to count the Mizbeach HaKtoris because it just leads up to the Mizbeach of HaKtoris, which is counted. Since the Mizbeach HaKtoris is counted, so Alfiyas Mizbeach HaKtoris is only a Hefshe Mizbeach to lead up to that. Even though it's not Niyake, but it's a Mizbeach more Bishlei Musa. If you're Makhtar HaKtoris on the Mizbeach, it's certainly preferable to being Makhtar on the floor. The Kli, but the question is it considered one of the Klei HaMikdash? Does it have the status of a piece of furniture that makes HaMikdash or not? If it is, it really should have been before. Some of these people from Arachim, from Aristotle, have a better answer. No, all of their numbers would be off key. No, they have to count 50 letters after, 50 letters before. They get all these gematriot and everything. If they are HaKtoris, where it belongs, everything would be off kilter. No? All the Chesbainas would be off kilter. What's the pshat in the pasuk at the end of the sentence? Lasalu olav ktoriz zora ve'oilo mincha v'netach le'siv kuolo. What do you mean? Lasalu olav ktoriz zora? What is it ktoriz zora? Rabban HaKumish says that it means if the ktoriz is not kimat kulta. Ktoriz has been made with yud alav shem mani ktoriz, and if you made it wrong, that's an isur lasalu olav ktoriz zora. A friendly Torah. The Moref has a different shot. Rashi says, Shum Torah Shom Adoga, Kulam Zorah Slug, what can you do? Why is the Kai Vito so severely punished? He walked into the Heichal and the Avodah that he did was Mishkan Avodah because it was possible. It's Chaynitah because of the Yeri Konin. It's Chaynitah because of the Loyom, which is the Shaman, and stay there. The question also, how do you know that it's Chaynitah again?
Well, if he let things, he would do it.
It would be Chaynitah.
Then light the menorah.
Yeah.
So even if you lit the
wouldn't be chaimita. I think that's how some learn the pshat. Chaimita just means because it's a knisa reikon, it's a bir reikon. Anyway, the Gemara says like Rashi. The Gemara says in the Nachas, I think. Any Torah on the Dovah, the Gemara says it's a price. If Torah was not purchased, it's not a shekel money. Then it's called Torah Zor. It's the same, it's Torah on the Dovah. It's the same way the Torah is supposed to be. But it wasn't purchased with the Master Shekel money, so it's not Pasha for Torah. There's an Arachaim HaKodesh HaFumish has on the Pamon Zohogri Mon. So the Racham HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if he wears the Me'il and it doesn't have the Pamon Zohar Rimon, or it doesn't make noise, they didn't make the Pamon and the bells don't make the right noise, so then it's Chai Mitzvah Deshamayim. I would have said, no, it's Chai Mitzvah Deshamayim, because it's Mechus HaBegodim. Mechus HaBegodim is Dinah Kizar, and Zar Shov, and it's Chai Mitzvah. No. He says, no, he seems to learn that the Pamon Zohar Rimon is not Ma'akev in the Me'il. The meal is kosher even if it's missing the Pamon Zohar Rimon. But it's a special din, Ishma called the Vo'al HaKodesh, and it goes into the Hechon, the Vo'al HaKodesh, the taste of Elo Yomim. Special Mitzvah de Shemayim, if he wears the meal, which is kosher, it's not Ma'akev the meal, but if he goes into the Hechon without the Pamon Zohar Rimon, it's Mitzvah de Shemayim. And the bright thing, Matzeches, the perception that the Torah has in Sahed and Pedal, that lists off the Elo Shemit, and lists off all the people who did Averis, and you get Mitzvah Shemayim, doesn't list this off. A person who does, it says, Mechus of God, and he says, the youth of the God, and the God, lists off all the people, doesn't list off missing Pamon the Avri, no, it's Mitzvah Shemayim. So Rechaim HaKodesh interprets the best of Shat and the Torah. There's a Gemara in Yumen, but the Gemara speaks about Chavivus and Shal Yisrael, that they can enter into the Beit HaMikdash, they have access, and there's no need for a Shliach. What does that mean? Chavivus and Shal, they have access to who without a Shliach? Very obscure Gemara. So Rashi says, we can daven without an intermediary. We don't have to, the Goyim Levach, they have to go to the Kawa. We go directly to the Baruch. We don't need any intermediary. Gemara has nothing to do with Korban. It goes on Tfila. Rabbeinu Hananel doesn't learn like that. Rabbeinu Hananel learns on that Gemara that it goes on Yom Kippur. Look at the Chavivus of Bnei Yisrael on Yom Kippur, because it's a human. It passes into a human. Even though the member doesn't say a word about human, it just says, Rei Chavivus Mishal Yisrael. It says the Chavivus of Yisrael on Yom Kippur is that all you long you need the Nishma Kol of the Vo Al Hakodesh of the Tzeis of Elo Yomer. You have to sort of knock on the door. You have to make noise before the Kohen goes in. That's why you have to have the Pamon to make noise. And on Yom Kippur, he doesn't wear the Me'il and he goes into the Kodesh Hakodesh and he doesn't have to make any noise. So that demonstrates Chavivus of Yisrael on Yom Kippur. That's how the Rabbeinu Hananel understands that, you know. So in Abba Chalap's uncle Sefer, and the Avnei Shoham, he says, why didn't Rashi learn that pshat? The Lashon HaGemara, so soft them, both pshatim don't fit in well. So if he would have a third pshat, I'd be happy to hear a third pshat. He says, what prompted Rashi not to learn the pshat? After all, Rashi knew Rabbeinu Hananel came before him, why didn't he learn like that? He says, he couldn't, because there's another Gemara, another daf in Yuma, that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol went in with the Kapha Machta into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to be Machta the Torah. So the Machta, he had the Torah, that is the Maloi Chofna of Torah Sam and Dada. So the Gemara says that the Kaf had a Nishtiyak or something, a foreign word, some kind of a thing. But all year long they didn't have a nishtiyak, and then Yom Kippur had a nishtiyak. What's that nishtiyak? So Rashi learns pshat that all year long when the Kohen Gadol walks around, he wears these tamonim in order to make noise. The nishma kol of the Avodah Hakodesh. On Yom Kippur he doesn't wear the meal. When he wears the Avodah Hakodesh, doesn't wear the meal. So they had to have something else in order to make noise. But they had a special bell or a special thing that made noise on the kap on Yom Kippur. That it should also make noise on Yom Kippur.
So Rashi learns that Gemara boom the hefa from the Rav. You can't say, look, Benayim Kippur, Chavigushim Shal Yisrael, that we don't need to make noise. You don't have to ring the bell before we walk in, just walk in unannounced. Not true. The Gemara says they specially instituted on Nishtiyak to make noise on Yom Kippur because there was a lack of Tamon. How does Benayim not learn that, Shem? So he points out, Rav Moshe Lech Shachar points out in his paper, that Taisus and Gemara, the Nishtiyak, quotes Rav Hanan has a different shot there. That on Yom Kippur, the Kangodl had to go in with the Maloa Machto Gachle Yesh, Me'alam Mizdeach, and Me'a Hashem. So it was burning hot. So the arm of the Kli, if he's going to hold this another, if he's going to hold this for a minute or two, it's going to get burning hot. He's going to burn his hand. So the Nishtiyak was a special cover, like a pot holder. When your mother cooks on the fire, and then instead of burning your hands when she holds the pan, so you have a pot holder. So the Mishtiyak was a special cover of leather or whatever that you shouldn't burn his feet. And gone to the different shot. That's Rabbi Nachman is free to learn the other pshat in the other Gemara. That Ruach Avivusim Shal Yisrael on Yom Kippur, that you go in without making noise. That this din of Benishma Kol of Lo Yomus doesn't apply one day a year on Yom Kippur. And Rashi disagrees, says no, it applies every day of the year. And when there's no meal with the pamoni making noise, then you have to have a mishtiyak to make the noise. It's a special thing. The Beit Yosef in Hilchos Sefer Torah quotes Rabbeinu Manoah. That not only do you have to stand up when you see the Sefer Torah being carried, the Gemara says, Dimitanel, Obdel, Dimitanel, the Toshkin. He says, even when you hear noise that they're carrying, the Sefer Torah, you can't see it, but it's very crowded. When you just hear the noise that the Sefer Torah is being carried, you also have to stand up. He demonstrates this when the Gemara introduced the first Perek, that Rabbi Yosef was a Sagi Nohar. He was blind, so he couldn't see. Someone at his parents would walk by, he would hear the noise. He wouldn't see that they were coming, he would hear the noise that his mother is coming, so he would stand up. So the Rabbeinu Menachem says, just like